Hello, everybody, and welcome to the WDW Main Street Podcast. This podcast is being brought to you by Elite Vacation Homes. If you need a home for your next Disney or Universal vacation, contact Elite Vacation Homes at elitevacationhomes.com. Show's also being brought to you by American Tourist Travel. Let us book your next Disney vacation, Universal vacation, or any other vacation you can dream of at americantouristtravel.com. Show's also being brought to you by Scooter Vacations. If you need a scooter for Disney World, Universal Studios, or anywhere else in the Central Florida area, contact Scooter Vacations at scootervacations.com. And our last sponsor is David's Vacation Club Rentals. If you want to stay at the Boardwalk, the Yacht and Beach Club, the Wilderness Lodge, the Animal Kingdom, Old Key West, Saratoga, you know them all, guys. Contact David's Vacation Club Rentals at dvcrentals.com. And now on with the show. Hello, everybody, and welcome to the WDW Main Street Podcast. I'm joined, as always, by my good buddy Dan. Hey, Dan, pull up a stool.
Hey, how you doing tonight?
I'm doing very well, because we got a very special guest, Carmen, from Peas and Carrots. How you doing, Carmen?
I'm doing good, thanks. How are you guys?
We're doing very well. Excuse me, The Adventures of Peas and Carrots over on YouTube. Is that correct, Carmen?
That's correct.
Welcome to the WDW Main Street Pub.
Thank you, and it's good to be here with you, Dennis. Last time it was just Doug and I, so glad to be on with both of you this time.
Yeah. You get stuck with just me, Dan.
Yeah, that must have been rough. You made it through it, though.
And now I'm on with two movie stars. Have you heard that Dennis's script's coming in now?
I heard that he was about to get a SAG award.
Exactly. <Yeah. laughs> He got his SAG card, and he's telling me he can't read through the scripts. He's getting so many offers.
Yeah, I'm very picky about what roles I take. So
he has integrity.
Well, it's good to have standards.
Yeah, they're not very high, but they're standards nevertheless.
He does a show with me every week. How high could they be?
Wow.
No, we really had a good time talking with Dennis. You know, for those of your listeners who may not have already heard you talk about it, we met up with Dennis. He actually found us, amazingly, at Epcot at the Food and Wine Festival. Not that we're hard to find because we're always at Epcot, but it was great getting to talk to him and having him on the vlog last week.
Yeah, and it was funny.
Yeah, it was funny, and it was. I enjoyed being on, and again, I had no idea I was going to be on, but it's just amazing nowadays, and I'm sure, Carmen, you I run into this all the time. Just your social media friends or Disney friends, if you will. When I'm in the parks, I'm always on the lookout for, you know, to see somebody I know, because there's so many people that I've met on Twitter or Facebook or, you know, through, you know, your vlog, for instance, that I, you know, have spoken with via word, not met in person, but I know what they look like. And that's exactly what happened on that morning at Epcot. It was just a random encounter.
Yeah, that was awesome. I mean, because when you think about how many people are at Disney World, it's still pretty incredible to run into someone that you, like you said, you haven't ever met in person, but you know what they look like.
Exactly. And I was not intimidated, but I said, do I want to go bug them? And, you know, I hemmed and hawed to myself. And then I said, what the heck? I'll give it a shot. And I'm glad I did, because it was nice to finally meet you guys, and even nicer to make a little appearance on the vlog. So it was all good.
Yeah, I'm very glad you came over. We always love meeting people in person. It's a lot of fun.
Yes.
I knew it was probably a little intimidating, too, Dan, with the high-class situation they were sitting in, you know, the highfalutin people.
Well, yeah, I had to get through three security guards, and then there was a rope or around some trees, and they were out in a little patch of greenery there. And, they've been doing that for a couple of years now, right, Carmen, that special package that you did?
I believe so. I think this was the second year, although I'm not 100% sure. It was the first year we had heard of it. Brian actually found it. I had not personally heard of it before. And we were trying to think of something special to do for our 20th wedding anniversary, and we were sort of drawing a blank. And he found that. He said, we love Food and Wine, so let's do this as a splurge. And that's exactly what we did. And now that we've done it once, we want to do it again.
Yeah, I mean, I have to say, for anybody that is a Food and Wine lover, it is a perfect gift to somebody else or a gift to yourself, because of the fact, one, you always get a seat, or well, providing the seats available, you're going to always get a seat. And to me, that's the biggest downfall of Food and Wine. The food is awesome, the entertainment is awesome, everything is awesome, but at peak times it can be difficult to find a place to actually put your food up and actually enjoy eating it. So it, for that alone, is, in my view, makes it pretty well worth it, just to have knowing you're going to be able to sit down and enjoy the food that you do get.
You don't have to stand in line for anything, which sometimes is not a problem, but we saw sometimes the lines were at least 30 minutes long, and so that's a huge perk too. Those cast members have sort of a backdoor access to the kiosk, and they don't have to wait in line, so you get your food within like 5 minutes, which is pretty amazing.
Nice.
I got a great idea. What they should do is close down the Liberty Inn and use all that area for seating.
Yeah, that would work.
I mean, why not? Like, let you eat in there. I mean, I think the food would be so much better just to get off the kiosk and go in there. And I mean, who wants to eat there anyway?
I don't know, though, because that's like a giant echo chamber. I think I like the seating that they had already, which was a lot more scenic. It was out by the water, you know, next to the World Showcase Lagoon. So I think I'll take that over the inn there.
Well, I'm just talking about us Gilligan-style people, you know, the nine-to-fivers, you know, the lower class.
Gilligan
we could eat over
style,
at the Liberty
you're
Inn.
Backing me up.
Now, Carmen, how many of those areas were there around the World Showcase? Is there like a half a dozen or so, or how many?
I do not remember, and I think I still have – sorry if you hear a noise. I'm looking here. I think I still have the lanyard. Well, I don't see it, but I think there were about 8, but don't quote me on that. I want to say there were 8. They were sort of strategically placed all around World Showcase, and each one was for, say, 2 to 4 kiosks, depending on where it was. And most of them had a beautiful view, like you were right on the water. So it was just an amazing view to sit at.
Now, speaking of noise, and I'm going to let all of our listeners know, if you hear Presley go crazy, I'm not pausing it. My wife is out, and my watchdog, the Main Street Pub watchdog, might go nuts. I don't know if you'll hear it or not, but I apologize in advance for my idiot of a dog. When his mother comes home, he goes insane. So you might hear a little noise from Presley tonight.
He's excited that mom's home.
Oh, you have no idea. We get attacked when we leave, Carmen.
Wow.
He don't want us going.
Aw.
He's our spoiled little brat.
Yeah.
But no, I like I said, I am so glad to have you back on. You guys did a great job picking on me, which was really, really good on the show.
That's easy.
Yeah, I think you could have got me a little better, to be honest with
you.
Yeah,
that wasn't too harsh. I don't know.
Well, I knew I was on film, and anything I said can and would be held against me, so I took the high road.
Yeah. I have a lot of audio when we're off air, so don't get too full of yourself.
Okay.
Yikes, blackmail material.
So you guys released your latest video out. You want to give people a chance to go over and to tell them how they can go see it?
Sure. The best way to find us is youtube.com/theadventuresofPandC, so like peas and carrots, but it's P and C, the initials. Or you can go to YouTube and search for The Adventures of Peas and Carrots and we'll come up. And the latest one we put out was last Wednesday, so there's a new one coming out tomorrow. And last Wednesday's was actually our food and beverage reviews from our most recent trip, which was to the Flower and Garden Festival. I try to get those out immediately. Like, as you know, most of our videos are sort of months in the past and we put them out once a week. But when we go to the food festivals, I try to put a quick one together of a compilation of all of our food and beverage reviews. So if people are still going, they can go ahead and watch it and maybe it'll help them decide what they do and don't want to spend their money on. So that one's out there right now. So if you're still going to the festival, check that out and it'll help you decide what was good. We didn't have anything terribly bad. There were some things better than others, but I was actually impressed with the overall quality of the food at this festival.
Well, we're going to get the lowdown from you a little bit tonight, too. We'll pry some of the information out of you.
Yeah.
And then... Okay. Oh, sorry.
No, go ahead.
I was just going to say, tomorrow we're going to resume our October trip, which is where we interviewed Dennis at the Food and Wine Festival. And I know this is going to come as a big surprise, but we're back at Food and Wine again in this video. And so I think the title of it already smells like food, because that's what we were saying as we walked into Epcot. So it's another food-centric episode. But when we did the premium package, it's 4 days long, Monday through Thursday. And so we wanted to maximize, you know, take advantage of it, full advantage. So we spent most of those 4 days in Epcot. So I think we're getting towards the end of that 4 days, and then it will go back to more of a sprinkling of the different parks.
I have to laugh because I actually watched your latest episode this morning, and I had not gotten quite a half a iced coffee down yet. And, you know, you're right. Now that you say it, it was just kind of the whole festival all wrapped up into one video. But, you know, I'm looking at it and I'm saying, here's Brian with a beer flight, and here you are with a mixed drink, and here we are with a glass. And you did a lot on one day because you were in the same clothes. So I'm like, wow, they're going to be hammered by the end of this video. And then eventually it was a different day and you had different clothes on. So I figured it out, and you got a little more coffee into me. And I said, oh, okay, I see what she's doing. But I said, you know, by the fourth or fifth beer flight, I said, you know, Brian's going to be crawling around World Showcase.
Yep. No, Brian does pretty darn well. I'm the one that has to be careful. And as you'll notice, I don't drink quite as much as he does. I'm very short, as you know, Dennis, you've met me. And so I can't drink that much, but, Brian with beer, especially with all that walking we do, I can't ever even tell he's drinking. Like, he yeah. does fine. Right. But it is spread out over 9 days. So, it does look like we're eating, drinking a lot. But that's 9 days worth of food and flower and garden.
Flower and garden, yeah. But I mean, you didn't really say that at the outset. I mean, obviously, anybody watching it will figure it out real quick that this all didn't happen on the same day. But, you know, by the time you got to France and you had that lollipop type drink there, I'm saying, wow, she must be feeling pretty good by now.
Well, I could say this. Brian is definitely not a lightweight, because me and Brent were sitting there too. How's he still walking?
No, he is definitely not a lightweight. Although I will say, at Food and Wine, the 18-year scotch did him in. He doesn't really drink much liquor, and he definitely doesn't drink scotch. I think that was his first time ever having scotch. And he was like, wow, I can really feel this.
Yeah, his toes went numb.
Yeah, but it's funny that you mentioned that, Dennis, because the very first time I ever did that, I think it was at last April's Flower and Garden Festival, my parents, who don't drink at all, said, wow, you guys drink a lot. I was like, oh, no.
Right. And you probably don't.
We drink, but it looks bad when you compile 9 days worth of drinking into one video.
Right, and that's just what it is. I mean, you know, in some cases there may be an hour or more between you know, actually having the items, but obviously on video it's just boom 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 boom. Right. It's all coming up, and you know, it just looks like, you know, like I said, it was like, here's Brian getting a wine. Oh, we're back here a second time, he's getting a second beer flight, you know. Wasn't there one where I think he got the same one? Or you might have referenced having been there, you know, previously or something. I don't know.
And I know he got that flight, I think, from America several times throughout the week, because we finally just quit reviewing it as we went, because we had reviewed it so many times. But I think that was his favorite again. It's kind of ironic. He's like, he wants to like the other countries' beer flights better, because it seems like you should, but he always ends up liking the American beer flights.
Proud to be an American.
Yeah. Poor Italy.
But, you know, he feels like the German flight should be better, or, you know, because he spent a lot of time in Europe. His job requires him to go to Europe all the time, and they have some fantastic beers there. But at the actual food festivals, he always seems to favor the American beer flights.
Nah, we were thinking the same. Me and Brenda were laughing the same way, and we figured it out too, but we were giggling. It's like, here we go again. What are we drinking today? So we're going to call you. I was going to text you and tell you you should save it the Adventures of a Shot in a Beer.
Oh, that sounds terrible.
Peas, carrots, and barley.
There you go.
Yeah, I don't think we were doing any shots, at least. We can leave those out of here.
No, you guys were having fun, though. It was your shows are great. We have a good time watching them. It's like, it gives us, we want to be there and having those shots and beers with you, the margaritas or whatever you're drinking. We're getting jealous, believe me.
Yeah, we like it, and I even like having them come out once a week because I always rewatch them right before they come out so that I can remember what's in them in case people ask questions. And it's great because it's like reliving all those fantastic memories.
And my favorite pick of the week was you, Brian, and the princess. Brian with his two princesses. That was a really nice picture.
Oh, thank you.
I really like that.
And you know what's funny about that? I assume you're talking about the Cinderella one.
Yes.
When we walked up, she was at the International Gateway, so it was one of those impromptu surprise character meet and greets. And there was no one there, so we just walked right up. And he goes, "Who is this?" I was like,
"Oh,
my
goodness.
Cinderella," because he can't keep any of the princesses straight.
I noticed that right away. It was, and like, that's my favorite. That's one of my favorite spots in all the world. I love that area right there. It's just so peaceful and beautiful.
Yep.
When you're walking into the back entrance of Epcot.
Yep.
Especially early in the morning. It's or late in the evening when you're walking out there. It's a very nice area there. I love that area.
It really is. It's fantastic. And in the morning, there's no wait to get through bag check. There's no wait to walk through. That's why we love staying at the Epcot Resort so much, because it's just so much easier.
I mean, yeah, right when you go over that bridge there, the music transitions into the World Showcase, you know, background music, and it just kind of sets the stage for what's to come. And it's very a very peaceful walk from either the Beach Club Boardwalk or
Swan
even the Swan Dolphin. So I agree.
Isn't that walk like up the little hill there as
yes.
you're going up the hill as you're going into International Gateway? Isn't it beautiful? I mean, into Epcot, World Showcase, as you're walking up, it's awesome. I mean, it's just like, sometimes you don't even want to get to the top because it's so nice there. And then you go down the hill, and I go to my tea cottage, and of course the Rose and Crown is there. But that whole area right there is one of my favorites.
It really is. It's beautiful. I always like to stop on that bridge that crosses over to France and just look out over the World Showcase Lagoon. That's one of my favorite views.
Both ways.
Yep.
Then looking back at the Friendship Boat if it's leaving.
Yeah, I mean, and there's great photo ops there, like you said, and they usually have a Disney photographer there. Maybe not that early in the morning, but I know they generally do. And, you know, you can get a picture with yourself with the Eiffel Tower in the backdrop, or the other way, you can, you know, see Spaceship Earth and everything across the bay there. So, yeah, it is an awesome location.
And I don't know if something was special about this week, but we saw a lot of those impromptu character meet and greets there. We saw Merida twice, Wendy from Peter Pan, and Cinderella all at that International Gateway area.
Maybe they were trying to slow the crowds up from coming in or something, disperse the crowds. I mean, seriously, maybe it was a way to, you know, make people stop and keep them keep the flow going in World Showcase. I mean,
well,
yeah.
I've heard that's how they train them, is they bring them into places like that unannounced to give them like practice before they get put in a line with, you know, hundreds of people. So it's sort of like a training ground. But there's no set schedule, so you just have to kind of get lucky and hit when they're
lucky
there. And we just happened to get lucky several times this trip, which is really nice because there's usually no wait. There's like one or two people in line. That's it.
Yeah, I mean, I must say, the last two times I went in International Gateway, both times it was a character right to the right after you go through bag check, and, you know, the turnstiles is it like juts out into the water there a little bit, and there's been a Camtronic, I think it was Stitch one morning.
Oh,
and,
nice.
Yeah, well, yeah. And again, it was totally random. There was nothing on the map. He just was there, and he was, you know, just playing around with guests. So we did the same thing. We just took it, and I think I had a Patriots hat, or it could have been a Red Sox hat, and I think he was giving me a hard time about that or something. So we had a little fun there, and like I said, great photo op with no line at all and totally unexpected.
Yeah, those are nice little surprises.
Yep.
Yeah, I call that area there at International Gateway, like, you know, certain spots of Riverside. There's like certain parts when you're at the park. Wouldn't you say there's like 6 or 7, maybe 10 places that make you feel like you're home again?
Yes.
There's every park has a special place or two, every resort. It's hard to explain, but there's a certain feeling you get when you enter these certain areas of the park. Am I wrong about that?
No, I definitely feel that way about International Gateway. It's just so beautiful and so peaceful and relaxing. It's one of my favorite places.
Yeah.
And when I'm approaching the old mill or old man's island over at Riverside, you know what I'm saying? And then there's other places, like at the studios, we talk about the writer's stop. There's just certain areas where you just, it's like home to you.
Yeah, absolutely. And particularly over International Gateway. I mean, there's several benches along the walkway there after you go through bag check. And there's benches on the side there that are, you know, kind of under the trees or under in the shade. And, you know, sometimes even coming out of the park, we'll sit there and maybe go in the store and grab a water for the walk back or something like that. And yeah, we just enjoy it. I mean, usually that's the way we go into Epcot. We're either staying at one of the resorts there, or maybe we're coming from the studios or something. And we just tend to enter Epcot from that way more often than not. And I kind of feel like I missed something when I come in the front way now.
I can't remember the last time I came in the front. I really can't. I have no clue. When I don't even know how long. I bet the last 20, 30 times I've been at Epcot, I've came in the back entrance. I can't. I never go in the front anymore.
Well, you're doing it right.
Yes, I agree. That's the best way. Although we're giving our secret away. Now it's going to get crowded back there.
Yeah, and it used to be somewhat of a secret. I mean, I believe it's been there the whole time. But, you know, until you've gone a handful of times and really know your way around, you may not even really understand. I mean, it's on the map and everything. But, you know, you're looking at attractions and all the other stuff that is drawing your attention. And you may not even realize, hey, that's a good way to get into the park till you really know your way around the place.
Yes.
So let's get into your latest trip, Carm. So you guys had a safe trip down. You got on Magical Express. How did everything go? Everything go great?
Yeah, it actually went great. As you know, we usually drive down. We're about 9 hours away and a drive. And we decided to fly this time just to try it because the plane flights are so cheap right now. And I loved it because we got the plane flight's only an hour and 20 minutes. So even with the added time of like getting to the airport early and Magical Express, we still got there far faster than we could have if we had driven. Plus, you're not as exhausted, I think, you know, when you fly.
Right.
And so we really enjoyed that. We liked it a lot.
Yeah, see, my luck, I'd have two crying kids behind me and somebody in front of me that wanted to spin around and talk the whole time. That's just Doug's luck.
But it's only, well, for us anyway, it's only an hour and 20 minutes. So even if you're in not the greatest situation, you know, you're not going to be in it for very long. So it's not too bad as far as that goes. But we lucked out. We didn't even have anyone on our row on the way down because it wasn't a full flight. And
that's awesome.
Then the Magical Express went pretty smooth. It took about an hour total because we were the first people on the bus and we were the third resort that they stopped at, but I still thought that was pretty good. I was pretty happy with that. So yeah, our trip down was really smooth and easy.
So you didn't like the room this time at your resort, did you, Carm?
Well, we liked the room, but it was not clean when we got there, which was disappointing. I would like to say it's the first time that's ever happened, but it's not. At Pop Century last September, we also had a dirty room when we got there. And so I hope this isn't a trend for Disney because it's like we've been four times in, since last April, and two of the four we walked into. And when I say dirty, I don't mean just a little dirty. I mean a lot dirty.
Do you think it just wasn't cleaned at all, or they just did a poor job cleaning it? Which would you say it was?
They had put clean towels out at least, so they had done something, but it did not look cleaned at all. There was a lot of hair in the bed. There was hair in the bathroom. The floor had literal dirt, like off someone's shoes, the bathroom floor. And then the whole living room was dirty. There were two paper clips, a penny, some potato chips. Like, all this was on the floor in the living room. So if they had cleaned it at all, it was like the minimum job.
Bare minimum.
You know. See, I'd almost rather it turn out that they totally missed the room. I mean, not that that's acceptable, but that's better than them saying that, yes, somebody was in there and they actually left it like that. Do you know what I'm saying?
Right. Yeah, I know what you're saying. And I honestly can't tell you for sure, except that, like I said, there were clean towels. You know, you think if they hadn't cleaned it at all, there wouldn't be clean, you know, towels. Right.
Unless they did the last come people and, you know, there didn't shower.
They did come and fix it that day. We didn't want to move rooms because we actually had a great location. We were like right next to the elevator, right next to the Crazy Clown pool. Like, it was just an excellent location.
I don't know if I could have slept with that clown there.
Well, there was a tree sort of blocking my view of the actual clown, so it was okay. But we could see the Star Wars fireworks at night off our balcony, so I did not want to move. I liked the location. So they were good about coming and fixing it quickly. So, you know, that's what you really want is them to make it right, and they did.
It would have been nice if they gave you, like, a voucher or something for dinner or something. I mean, that's just wrong. And that's the reason why we love Disney and we stay at Disney. Like, my wife, we stop sometimes on the way down. It's scary because I don't know what we're going to get with the hotel. Even when you pay Courtyard by Marriott, the nicer hotels, you don't ever know what you're going to get. It's a crapshoot anymore.
Right.
And when we go to Disney, that's the one thing we know of our 40-some trips, that it's going to be clean when we get there. And when that don't happen, that's like a major letdown to start with.
Yeah, it is, because you're excited about your trip and you're ready to go, and then you walk into that and you're kind of like, you know, it's a little deflating. But like I said, they made it right, and I would have probably complained louder, but I think I mentioned to you we were renting DVC points, and so I didn't want anything I said to reflect on the owner. I didn't know if it would or not, but since we weren't renting directly through Disney, I just basically called housekeeping, said, here's the situation. They came and fixed it, and that was the end of it, and I didn't say anything else about it.
I bet you that's why that happened, because, and I'm not trying to make excuses for Disney or whatever, but Dennis will tell you, with DVC, sometimes they don't clean every day. They'll just give you a cleaned house. They don't clean the room
usually
every day.
On a seven-day vacation, on the fourth day, you get new linens and stuff like that. And they don't even really, they don't make the bed per se. They just leave a laundry basket that has pillowcases, sheets, blankets, so, you know, everything with it. And they give you detergent and dishwashing soap and all the sundries that go with that. So
maybe that's what happened.
You could be right, Doug. Yeah, you could be right, is maybe they thought that somebody was still staying past the day. You know, it wasn't a checkout, but it was just a midweek, drop-off or whatever you want to call it.
And see, that would actually make sense. If that's what they thought, then that would make a lot more sense, and that would actually make me feel better. So maybe that is what happened,
right?
Because when we stayed at the Boardwalk in the regular rooms last April, our room was immaculate. Like, it was super clean. So I was just really shocked to walk into
that. Yeah, because they're scheduled to be cleaned every day. When you do stay DVC, like, they'll give you, they'll knock on the, if you see them out there, you'll ask, or they'll knock, like Dennis said, they'll give you, or you'll just grab a handful of clean towels and put them in the room
and
yourself.
And that's something that it took us a while to get used to it. And now that we've had DVC for, 10 plus years, we're just used to it. But, yeah, I mean, you even have, well, I do it every day. But even things like doing your trash and stuff, I mean, they don't do that on a daily basis. So, I would round up each of the trash cans, one from the bathroom and out in the kitchen and the recyclable bin. And every morning before we go out, I do that, because with DVC, that's not a service that's provided. And like I said, even on your midweek, linen and laundry or whatever they call it, there's a name for it that's not correct. But, it is a freshening up, but it's by no means to the level of cleaning that they would do for a regular resort guest, which is, Common said, an immaculate total cleaning top to bottom usually every day, right?
Yes.
So, yeah, there is a distinction.
So maybe that's what happened, Carmen, so you could still have a little faith.
Yeah. Yeah.
So where did you guys hit?
Well, and we're going to rent DVC again in the fall, so we'll see. And we're going to Boardwalk again, so we'll see how it works this time.
Oh, I don't know if we would have punishment.
Well, I don't know if we would have done it again, but we had to reserve it 11 months out to get it for Food and Wine, so we were already locked in before this experience. So
right.
There's no turning back now. But so we're hoping this time to have a better experience. But we did love the size of the room. We loved having that extra space and the table, and it is more like a little apartment than a hotel room.
Right.
And we also, like I said, we loved the location, and I loved the free laundry as well. I made use of that. So, we really enjoyed those perks, and we actually don't mind not having daily cleaning, because we find that a little like, oh, now we need to pack all our stuff up because they're going to come in. Oh. And so kind of knowing you had 4 days, we found kind of relaxing.
Yeah, my wife pleads for the clean lady every day.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, and we kind of, and I totally agree with you. I mean, you can kind of take your stuff out of the suitcases and kind of live like you're living there actually for the week and not just staying night to night. Because I think we all do the same thing. You want to kind of tidy up the place before housekeeping comes every morning when you're a regular resort guest, and you never really get comfortable. Whereas when we stay DBC, I bring my computer out, set everything up, and I don't worry about it for the week. I'm just, because I know they're not coming in except for that, you know, one time on the fourth day on a typical stay. So I agree with that as well.
See, and I'm one of these people, too, that I, and it might be weird by me, but I feel like if you leave your computer out, your iPad out, all your stuff in the way, you're being ignorant to the person coming in trying to do their job. And if they break, and I don't want to leave, I'm not being smart, these people work really, really hard, and if they accidentally break an iPad or a laptop, it's going to cost them more than they're getting paid to clean them rooms, and that ain't fair to them to even to put that upon and put it in their way to give them a chance of having a bad day, if that makes sense to you.
Oh yeah, if I was staying, you know, regular resort guests, I would definitely put it away. But like I said, with DVC, you know they're not coming in your room except for the fourth day. So on that day, I usually put it away.
And it's also nice because you're not trying to dodge them. Like, I don't like to be there in their way when they clean.
Well, the first thing we do is
put the sign
up.
But if you wanted to go back to your...
Yeah.
Well, yeah, but you want them to clean, and so, like, we would purposely be like, okay, do you want to go back to the room? Well, do you think they've cleaned yet? Like, you know, we'd sort of have that discussion, so that was another nice thing, knowing we didn't have to worry about that. We could go back at any time and, you know, didn't have to worry about surprising someone.
You know what I'm saying, though? Like, you could have a family of, you know, you have your wife and a couple kids, and you have your iPads out, your iPhones, your Nintendo DSs, all this stuff they'll leave out in the room. And do you think the maid really feels like, do you know how worried I would be moving all that stuff, worrying about breaking something or whatever when you're cleaning? I mean, I think you should put that stuff away if you're going to stay at a regular hotel. Get out of the maid's way. I don't know how you...
Yeah, exactly. I mean, that's pretty much what we do. It's like we pretty much put everything away. And like you said, somebody said tidy up before housekeeping comes. That's exactly what we do.
But I'd blame myself if my laptop got broken. I wouldn't blame the maid. It shouldn't be left out anyways. My laziness, if you follow me. That's the point I'm trying to make. Don't go blaming somebody else when you could have solved the problem if you'd have just put your junk in a drawer. So where'd you guys head the first day, Carm?
Let's see. Let me think for a minute. I believe we just went to Epcot. Yeah, we just went to Epcot the first day. You're making me... I haven't edited these videos yet, so I don't have it committed to memory. But we went to Epcot because we didn't get there till... I guess it was getting close to lunchtime by the time we got there from the airport and everything. And since we can walk to Epcot, we just thought that would be an easy first day, you know, relaxing. And we had fast passes, but we ended up not using them because we sort of started working our way around the world for the flower and garden kiosks. And so we were sort of all the way at America, and it was time for our first fast pass, and we're like, let's skip it. And so we ended up not even riding anything, except I think we did ride Living with the Land, just walk on, and that was pretty much it for rides. But
yeah, I think that's a you
that's probably the day that that's probably the day Dennis was like, wow, they're eating and drinking a lot, because I think we did that first day, we sampled a lot of different things that
day. And then you pick me for the balloons.
Yes, we did.
I got a nice little tweet. I think, oh, my friend Carmen, she's in Disney World. She's reaching out to me, and then she's picking on me for my chocolate balloon. It kind of hurt my feelings, but it's okay. No, I was just saying. I liked it. I said to my wife, I said, you believe this? My friend is in Disney World, and she thought enough to tweet to me. It's nice when that happens. It's a little special thing that you know you're thinking of me. So thank you.
Well, every time I see those balloons now, that's the first thing that pops in my mind.
So it's a good thing, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
It's funny. You can always think of Doug when you see them balloons now.
Well, and I also thought of you when we were eating at Sunshine Seasons, because I think we ate there that day, too, for one of the meals, or that could have been a different day. But it was, I wouldn't say deserted, but I mean, it was half empty.
Peaceful.
And so I thought of you because it was so nice and peaceful. And
it makes you want to go back there.
It was nothing like the normal chaos.
No, I'm glad to hear that.
It was a lot nicer. Well, and they have great food, too. And as you know, I'm gluten-free. They have a lot of gluten-free, really good food there that's made gluten-free, so I don't even have to wait for it. I can just walk up and get it. And it's one of the few places like that, so I really like it.
I'm glad you thought of me, Carm.
See, and I got to say, it's impressive, at least to me anyways, that here you are at Walt Disney World and you're striking out on your first day, fast passes in hand, and you didn't even use them. And Doug and I have gone over this many a show that, you know, at our age and the way we tour now, you know, the attractions are awesome and, you know, we enjoy doing them, but they're almost become secondary at this point in that there's other things to do. And, you know, especially if you're going down at festival time, you know, and I've said this to Doug, I've gone on a couple solo trips and different things. And there's been times where I've gone a whole long weekend or a 3-day weekend without riding anything. And I thoroughly enjoy myself. So, mm-hmm. you know, that's what one of the beauties of Walt Disney World is. There are so many other things to do aside from the world class attractions that are there that you can still have fun and not even ride anything.
That's so true. Because, well, and there's so many ways to enjoy Disney. Because, like, when you guys were teasing me, and I know you're teasing about the premium package, so it's $199 a person for the 4 days, and there's a bunch of other perks too, like the Illuminations dessert party and free wine and free wine glass and a free pin and a free magic band and some other stuff. But you're basically paying for those 4 days of getting waited on, you know, in the private seating areas. But the way to look at that too is we didn't eat out at all those 4 days, and if two people ate out just one table service, not even signature, for 4 days, you'd probably easily spend the same amount of money. And yeah. So I think that's the other nice thing about Disney. You can kind of pick and choose what you want to do, because, like, for us, we enjoy the kiosks. So we only do 2 or 3 table service during a 9-day trip, whereas other people, they like to eat every single day somewhere. So that's what I love about Disney. There's something for everybody.
Well, my wife said definitely, like, I was telling her about that. And, you know, I always bring it up, but, like, when we move down there, stuff like that would be awesome. Like not just that, but all different of the special events would be really worth it. When you have your annual pass, you can go, you know, a couple times a week, and all this extra stuff won't seem as, it would be more budget friendly too, because it's not, your pass they're paid for and you live there, so it wouldn't be any big deal to do all these different things.
Right. I can see that.
So that's what I'm looking forward to. Like, you could do special events like that at the spur of the moment, because There's so many things in there, like, you don't even realize. I mean, every time I read the Birnbaum's book or something else, I find another event or something else that you could do that I never even realized was there.
Well, I remember when you guys were doing the tours recently, you mentioned some tours I didn't know existed.
And that's awesome, isn't it?
Yeah. I can't remember which ones now, but I couldn't. I was like, I don't think I've ever heard of that. That sounds pretty interesting. So,
yeah, there was the culinary one at the California Grill, which I had never heard of.
Yes, I think that was actually one of them, because I love to cook, and I cook from scratch, pretty much everything from scratch. And so that was very interesting when you mentioned that. I was like, ooh, I would like that one.
We would too, big time. Big time. That's on the living list.
Yes.
So did you anything else good that day that you can remember that you had? Any of the special, any of the different kiosks step out to you? Stand out to you?
Yeah, I actually had one dish that was one thing that we didn't do, which is kind of funny because we usually do. As far as I can remember, we never said what our favorites were. And one of my favorite dishes was actually one of the first things I had. It was the jerk spice chicken in Isla Fresca, I believe was the name of it. It's a new booth this year.
I see your little periscope on that.
Yeah, it was really good. And I can't take really, really hot food. And I've mentioned to you, Doug, my uncle lived in Jamaica for years, and so I used to go see him, and their jerk spice means light you on fire. Like, it's a whole nother level of hot. And so I was bracing myself for super hot, but it was just the right amount of heat. It was perfectly spiced. It had this great mango salsa, and it had this sort of julienne zucchini salad that it was on top of. So it was the whole thing together. It wasn't just the chicken, but the whole dish together was really, really good. And I think that ended up being my favorite for the whole festival, and it was one of the first things that I had.
It really looked good. I mean, I was ready to drive down to try a plate. I mean, when you were doing, as you were going on the Periscope, you were really selling it pretty good. It sounded really good, and it looked really good. And
it was
and
great.
Those plates they're pretty big. I mean, people, and I'll get back, you know, I complain about expenses and stuff, you know, because I just want to be honest on the show. We do love more than we hate, but I'll tell you what, a lot of those plates that you were getting had quite a bit of food on them from what you could see from when you were periscoping.
I felt like the portion sizes were better for Flower and Garden than they were for Food and Wine, and I felt like they were more consistent. Like, at Food and Wine, some of the dishes were pretty big, but others were just tiny, tiny. In fact, one of the things I'd eaten right before Dennis came over was that New York strip steak, and I'd heard on your podcast somebody talking about how small it was. I don't remember if it was Bob or who, and he wasn't kidding. It was like 2 tiny slices of New York strip. It was excellent, but it was tiny. Where then you go to Canada and you got the filet mignon, and it was a pretty decent size of filet mignon. And so that was what was weird. It was a big discrepancy depending on which kiosk you were at. Whereas at Flower and Garden, it felt like the sizes were a lot more consistent and pretty decent size for the money.
Yeah, and I think probably because, too, the crowds aren't quite as bad. They're more manageable, so they probably get the food out in a more timely manner. They're not as pressed for time like they are Food and Wine. Do you agree with that?
Oh, definitely. I mean, we rarely saw any line. I mean, usually you walked straight up to the register. Occasionally you'd have to wait between 3 or 4 people back is pretty much the most we ever saw. And that's a far cry from Food and Wine. On a Friday or Saturday night, some of the Food and Wine lines looked 30 to 40 minutes long. So it was pretty big difference in the crowd levels.
Yeah, and I totally agree with that, Doug. I think the fact that the crowds are less lends itself to them prepping the food a little bit more. They're less hurried, and you're more apt to get a better portion size and, even presented maybe a little bit better instead of just slung in there. And, you know, to your point about the 40-minute, lines comment, I mean, we've gone to Food and Wine pretty much since its inception, and we've sworn off weekends. We don't even do that anymore. We try to plan our arrival, middle of the week if we can, sometimes a Tuesday, and we'll hit the festival, sometimes 2 days in a row and get it out of the way during the midweek, because we've just found that standing in line, 40 minutes, and that's not a stretch. I mean, we've waited in those lines upwards of 40 minutes, and it really detracts from, enjoying the festival. So I'd rather do it midweek when there's a lot less tourists there, and certainly the locals are pretty much there on the weekend. So that's my tip for Food and Wine, unlike Flower and Garden, which I think you could pretty much go anytime like you did.
Yes. Right, yeah, we didn't even have any issues on Saturday evening. We never saw big lines at all, and I totally agree with you with Food and Wine. We'll go over to Epcot on a Saturday night just to look at the lines, not to get in them, but just because it's kind of funny to walk
People
around and
watch.
See just how packed and crazy it is.
Right.
But we do not go over there planning to eat anything. It's just way too crowded.
It's like us and going down to the casino to watch people gamble, and we don't watch them go nuts when they lose.
Yeah, usually what we'll do on the weekend is if we do that, and, at times we'd actually have an ADR at Epcot, is, if we're going to do one of our sit-downs for the week, we'll do it on a Friday or a Saturday night at Epcot and do exactly what you said. And then the rest of the time, we can grab a drink somewhere, maybe take in the concert at the American Garden Theater, or, enjoy some of the other things around the showcase that doesn't involve standing in line getting waiting for food.
Well, and it's also a great time to take advantage of some of the things you can do in the not kiosk areas of World Showcase. Like, they have a wine walk that you can do that's in Italy, France, and Germany, and you get 2 wines from each of the wine cellars in each country. And that's a fun thing to do, and there's no line for that during Food and Wine because everyone's at the kiosks.
Great.
So if you do find yourself there and you want to do Food and Wine, I know I've heard you guys talk about this. You can do your own food and wine without going in the kiosks. And so, like, this fall when we go, we're going to arrive late on a Saturday, so we don't really feel like going to another park because we're going to get there so late. So we already talked about that. We're just going to do the non-Food and Wine World Showcase that evening.
Yeah, all the other stick areas in the countries are a lot. There's no crowds at hardly any of that area.
Right, because everybody's at the kiosk.
Yeah, exactly, and so you can grab some good eats and laugh at the people. Yeah, Friday and Saturday nights are forget about it. Sunday and Monday nights are pretty good, too. They're not too bad there either, but Friday and Saturday, forget about it. Not just that, sometimes on Friday nights, too, you can get some people that are a little getting a little out of their element, if you follow me, and they get a little uncomfortable around some of it, especially Friday nights.
You see it, and it's there, and obviously, it's in the name of the festival that, there's drinking there. But I have to say, in all the years I've been to, Disney World, and specifically Food and Wine, you know, obscene and intoxicated people, but, you know, Disney does a great job, as they do with most things. They put a stop to it pretty quickly if anything's getting out of hand or people are using, you know, language that's not family friendly or, you know, any of that stuff. They do a good job at, you know, taking care of those situations.
It's not going to be like Bike Week or anything else like that, but there every once in a while you get to say, like, we had one group one time, there was like 15, 20 people. Now they all have the same color shirt on, and you know they're all together, and they were pretty fired up the one weekend there. And that was that. I remember that. I was getting a little worried, and we just slowly worked our way around the other side of the park. I don't know what happened, but they were a little fired up. But for the most part, like you said, Dan, I've never really had many people really bother me.
Right. Yeah, I've seen people having a really, really good time, and I've also seen people who look like they've kind of passed out on the sidewalk, but I've never seen anyone being rude or mean or fighting or, you know, any of the things that you wouldn't want a child to see, you know. Yeah. So I think Disney does do a good job once people are sort of misbehaving of, you know, getting them out of the park. But yeah, you will see that definitely on Friday and Saturday nights, especially younger people, like maybe 20s, you know, you don't see a lot of people our age that are having that much fun, but you'll see the younger groups of people, like you said, all wearing the same t-shirts and that kind of thing.
Yeah, I've been in, not that it was real crazy, but I've been in the Rose and Crown Pub a few times, like late in the evening when the park's open, 11 o'clock, you know, when they have the late extra magic hours and stuff there. Mm-hmm. When the piano player and all is going, I've seen that place get pretty crazy in there for Disney standards, if you follow me. Loud and singing going on and quite a few bass ales put down. I've seen some, but not nuts, but that place gets lively sometimes. That's like a local hangout. So I've seen that happen there.
Yeah, I have too, Doug. And yeah, I think a lot of that is, you know, it gets especially like that if there are people from England and Ireland and stuff that happen to be
the
vacationing
singing going
there, which
on in
seems
there.
To be... Yeah, it's kind of, you know, it has that vibe, and yeah, and I wouldn't say it's, I don't know how to explain it, but it's just lively, I guess would be the best way to put it, but not in a dangerous an offending way, but just in a
festive,
people having a real good time.
Yep. Well, and that's what I meant about walking around on a Saturday night can be very entertaining.
People watching on
people
Food
watching,
and Wine,
yes.
And Flower and Garden. Did you guys head by Urban Farm Eats? Did you do the urban farm eats?
I believe that's only at Food and Wine.
Okay. I thought they did both there. That wasn't in Flower and Garden either this year?
No, it was. You're right. I do remember that because I got the watermelon salad.
Okay, yeah. I was curious how that was because my wife really was interested in that. How did you like that?
I loved it, and I was surprised because I love watermelon and I love arugula, but I was having a really hard time mentally getting that together with feta cheese. Like, it just, I don't know, I was having a hard time thinking of what that would taste like. And I absolutely loved it, except for the pickled onions, which were on top, but thankfully they were just rings that you could easily remove. Mm-hmm. I had never had a pickled onion, and I can say I do not like them now that I've had one.
My wife wouldn't like them either.
I tried a little of it, and yeah, didn't really like that, but the salad was great. In fact, I liked it so much, I'm actually going to make it this weekend when I go visit some family and take it with me. It was really good.
That sounds awesome.
Yeah, Doug, tell your wife it is fantastic. Last year's festival, I had it. In fact, I'm pretty sure. No, that's not where they have the stone ground grits. That's over the other side. But I actually, the time I was there with Bob, I had that salad, and it was awesome. And the one I had, the watermelon, was cold, and just the cold up against the greens that were in it. I wasn't expecting much going in, and I remember turning to Bob and said, "This is one of the best salads I've ever had." It was
me too.
That good.
My wife.
Me too. And the only reason I got it, honestly, is because it was the only gluten-free thing at that booth.
Oh, okay.
And so I was like, well, I'm hungry, so I guess I'll go ahead and get this and give it a try. And I just really had no high expectations at all, and I loved it. And Brian tried it and loved it as well, but he also got the non-witch from there, which is vegetarian, and he said that was really good this year. He liked it last year, but I think he liked it better this year. He said it was a little more flavorful than last year.
That has the oven-dried tomatoes and all in it, doesn't it?
Let's see. It's a white bean non-witch with arugula pesto and, oven-dried tomatoes.
Yeah, I've seen that on one of the menus. That does sound really good to me, too. I like all that stuff. My wife made a... incredible, and she's made it a couple times in the past month. She did a pear salad that she made that was out of this world.
That sounds good.
We had that this weekend actually for Mother's Day. And it was incredible. It was really, really good. I didn't think I was gonna like it as much as I do, and it had chickpeas in it too, which was so it gave it a little bit of. Because the chickpeas give you a little bit of energy, if you follow me, which is a good thing.
Right. I may have to get that recipe from you. That sounds good.
I'll get my wife to give it to you, and I'll text it down to you, and you can try it.
All right.
I think you'll really, really like it, because it has a little bit of – I think it has fresh Parmesan in it, too.
Yum, that sounds really good.
It was awesome. We had to run back out on Friday night to get fresh pears for that again. It's the latest thing, but it was really good.
Wow.
And I like that stuff for work, too, because, I'm the contractor that actually tries to stay in a little bit of shape because of her. Because she'll make me, like, fresh chicken salad, fresh pear salads. Who wants to eat lunch meats every single day? You know, that's not me.
Right.
But, no, we will send that to you, Carm.
Okay, great.
So,
and I have to say the salads overall were all good. That was the best one. But I had the I'm trying to flip through here. I've got my little guide. The one at the Cider House, which was in England.
Okay.
Or in the UK. It had blueberries, blue cheese. It was sort of the spring mix of greens, like a mix of greens.
Was that the land
and
harvest?
Maybe.
Yeah,
I'm still trying to
land
find.
Land harvest field greens, I think it was.
It was so good. The blueberries were a little bit overpowering because it had a lot of dried blueberries on it. But it was still a really great salad. I think it would have been perfect with just a few fewer blueberries on it. And then I also got the one at Florida Fresh, which was the kale salad with dried cherries, almonds, goat cheese, and white balsamic. And that was my second favorite. So the watermelon first, that one next, and then the blueberry last, but not because it was bad, just because it was, the other two were slightly better.
See, I'm hit or miss with blueberries. They better be good, because there's nothing worse than a bitter blueberry. You know what?
These were good, but because they were dried, they were just really strong. Like, think about how strong a raisin or a craisin, just that
right.
Sort of concentrated flavor. And they had put quite a few. Like, it actually overpowered the blue cheese, which is pretty hard to do. So I think it was just slightly off balance, but I think it would have been good.
No, it sounds good. I that's what I love. Like, with a lot of these salads, you don't, like you were saying earlier with the watermelon salad, you weren't sure how it was going to come together. That's one of the great things about cooking. Sometimes you add things together and you have no idea what they're going to taste like. When you'll see these chefs and stuff start talking about adding this to that, and you're like, I don't know. And then when you get it, it's like it's amazing how good it tastes. And that's what I like about – that's the great thing about food and wine and flower and garden. You get to experience things that you'd be afraid to try in a full entree, but being served these little plates, it makes it worthwhile to try everything.
Right, and it gives you ideas – If you like to cook, it gives you ideas for when you get home, because I'm always looking for new recipes. I like to mix things up, and being gluten-free, when I have a great gluten-free dish out like that, it gives me ideas to come back home and sort of put my own twist on it, but recreate, what they did.
I get bored with eating the same stuff all the time. I'm weird like
yep.
that. You like that, Dan?
Oh, no. I mean, chicken breast or something like that. I mean, you can only prepare it so many ways before it's back in the rotation again and you're looking for something a little different.
All the time. I mean, I'll listen to these people, like the one radio show I listen to. The guy eats the same thing every day. I don't know how he does it. I really don't. He has the same meal for breakfast, lunch, and dinner every single day.
I had a boss that was like that. He used to bring like a peanut butter sandwich and, a piece of fruit and two crackers and something else. I forget what it was. And every day for the 10 years that I worked with him, that's all he had. And he was skinny as a rail, and he was just one of those guys. He said, food isn't important to me. I eat it because I have to for nourishment, but I get no joy from eating a pizza versus this. So this is something that I'm happy with, and I just eat it because I have to. It's crazy. I wish I had that mentality.
Yeah, this guy eats eggplant parmesan every single night for dinner. He's not overweight.
Wow.
He does it in portion, but he eats egg. How do you eat eggplant parmesan every single night? I would go insane eating the same thing
yeah,
every
I
night.
Have to have variety.
So
too much of a good thing is not good, right?
So how'd you guys enjoy the smokehouse?
I really enjoyed it. Brian, being a vegetarian, did not don't think he ate anything there. He did have the beer flight, which he enjoyed.
Oh, we know he enjoyed
that.
But
Brian.
I did enjoy what I had a whole lot. Those would probably be my, after the jerk chicken, the pork rib, the smoked pork ribs with roasted corn salad would probably be my second place. Although I will say they were hit or miss. Over the 9 days, I had them four different times, like on four different days. And the first two times they were perfect and excellent. And you could tell they were truly smoked in a smoker. You know, they had that unique flavor that you only get from that. The second 2 days, they were kind of dried out. Not horribly so, but just a little bit. So they were a little hit or miss. And then I also tried the beef brisket burnt ends, because if you have them leave the cheddar fondue off, they're gluten-free. There's flour in that fondue, but the rest of it's gluten-free. And those were good, but they weren't amazing the way I've heard people rave about them. So I have a feeling that without the fondue, they're just not the same. Because I liked it, but not enough to get it twice. It was good.
Okay.
Yeah, I think that's a good tip, and we covered it when we did our show with Bob Sycon. You know, you really shouldn't come to any conclusions on any dish just having it once, because he found, very similarly to you, Carmen, that, you know, on the second day, something that he very much disliked or didn't care for the first time was awesome, or, you know, the reverse, it was awesome the first time and went back for seconds and it wasn't nearly as good. So, you know, depending on the time of day that you go, you know, are you getting something that could have been left over from last night and they reheated it, or, you know, who knows what the reasons are, but, you know, you should give a dish, I think, at least a second shot, unless you just didn't like the taste of it, and regardless of what they did to it, you're probably not going to like it. I'd recommend giving dishes, you know, another shot, because you may find that it's better the second time.
Well, and another good point to that is, if you had something 1 year and didn't care for it, don't assume you won't like it the next year, because I actually did not like the shrimp and grits last year, which I know is not the popular opinion, but I didn't. It tasted sour to me, the sauce. And so I decided I would try it again this year just to compare it, and I loved it. So maybe I just got it on an off day last year, or maybe they changed the recipe. I can't tell you which, but
right,
don't give up on something just because you didn't like it the previous year at a festival, because they do tweak the recipes. Like, I could tell some of the things had changed this year from the previous year. So that's another tip.
Yeah, that's a great tip, and I know Bob has told us this, and it's happened to me, not as much as with him, although he's there much more than I am. You know, sometimes the chefs will come out and ask you questions, how did you like this dish, you know, is it tangy, is it this, is it that, and that's precisely why they do that. They're always looking for guest input so that they can tweak the recipe, you know, maybe not that particular year, but certainly if a dish is popular enough that it comes back for, you know, the next year or year years afterwards, they may do just what you suggested, tweak the recipe. So talk it up with them chefs if they do ask you. That's what they're doing.
Mm-hmm. And probably the biggest disappointment for me was the currywurst. That was in Germany.
Is that related to liverwurst?
I'm not an expert on sausages, yeah. So I'm not even going to try to answer that. But it was... the biggest problem with it was they had completely drowned it in the curried ketchup. I mean, total overload. Like, when you get fries and there's more ketchup than fries, it was like that.
Right.
And so it was literally swimming in the ketchup. And I think that was really the only thing wrong with it. I think if I had gotten, say, the ketchup on the side and just had a little of it, it would have actually been good. But the ketchup completely overpowered everything else. There were paprika chips with it, and the ketchup overpowered the chips, overpowered the currywurst. So that was probably surprisingly disappointing to me. I was actually looking forward to that one. A lot of times those types of sausages have gluten in them. And so the fact this one was gluten-free was exciting to me. So I was kind of bummed that it wasn't better. I was expecting it to be better.
I know exactly what you're talking about. It's like you go to the ball game and you ask for a hot dog. You can't get them to put the mustard on it. Forget about it. You might as well just ask them, can I have a bun with mustard on it? I mean, because it's so smothered in it. It's like you can't even, you need 27 napkins to eat the darn thing. So I end up, when I go to the ball game, I put a thing of mustard in my backpack. So this way I don't even have to deal with it. How much is mustard? You get a thing of spicy brown mustard, you throw in your backpack, it's not going to go bad, and I don't have to worry about it. I get some Philly soft pretzels, I just have a great old time. Now, to help,
yep, that's a good idea.
To help our buddy John out, we'll throw John Peters in here. For Brian's beer flight, do you remember what his favorite was from the smokehouse?
Well, I should say he never did have the bacon stout because, again, being a vegetarian, he wasn't sure if it really had bacon or not. And, you know, they don't show you an ingredients list, so you really don't know.
John would eat the cup if it was bacon stout. He likes his bacon. So
he did not drink the bacon stout, but he did have the Hefeweizen, which he liked. His favorite was the Orlando Brewing Company Uncle Matt's Organic Grapefruit Pale Ale.
Now, how bitter? Was that bitter with the grapefruit? Like, that would, like...
No, it wasn't. And he's not even a huge fan of grapefruit pale ales, but he said that one was really good. And then I think he liked... No, he wasn't crazy about the Three Daughters Rod Bender Red Ale, but he admittedly is not a huge fan of Red Ales.
Okay, yeah, I would stay completely away from the Red Ales. I'm not into that. Do you like them, Dan?
Yeah, they're not bad. I mean, most of them beers for me are one and done. I mean, the heavier beers, and particularly when you get into some of them ales, to me, they tend to get real hoppy and dry, and it's not my favorite type of beer. But, you know, in the, what are they, 4 ounce pours, I think, that you get with the beer flights,
right,
it's just enough to get a good taste. But, you know, if you eat, I've found even if I don't particularly like a beer, it's just enough where I can still drink it and not waste it or, you know, experience it anyway. So,
well, and this is another tip. They will sub any of them you want. You can even get four of the same thing, but at that point, you might as well buy a beer. But if there's
right.
one you know you don't like, you can actually have them. That's what he did with the bacon stout. He would either sub out the Hefeweizen or the grapefruit pale ale for the bacon stout.
That's a good tip, because most people would be afraid to ask, and that's what we say. We've said this a few times with Bob one about asking them to add some of this or do that.
Yeah.
I mean, because you don't want to inconvenience anybody, but if you're paying for it, why would you want something you know you're definitely 100% not going to drink?
Right.
Yeah,
when it's just like me with the gluten, being able to leave certain things off, because they assemble, they may pre-cook things, but they don't assemble it until you order it. So when you walk up to the window, just say, I don't want X, please, and they will leave it off.
That's a good tip.
Yeah, no, it is. And, you know, we've gone back and forth. I mean, sure, you don't want to just be, you know, ordering stuff just to be difficult. But,
right.
you know, on the other hand, if you have a diet restriction like you do, or, you know, you've had the plate before and you just really like that ketchup that you mentioned, you know, next time you'd probably like to try that without the ketchup. And you know, you shouldn't feel bad about doing that. And I'm sure you won't. But, you know, the point is, if you know you're not going to enjoy something, why subject yourself to it? And still, you know, you may still really enjoy it without that particular ingredient on it or in it.
Right, and as long as you're polite, I don't think it makes any difference to them. It's one less thing they have to put on it, so I really don't think they care at all. They seem happy to do it.
Yep.
So some of the other things I noticed from your trip, which I was very interested in, I seen you actually got room service at the boardwalk. You enjoyed that, didn't you?
We did. Yes, we were surprised. Brian said he can't wait to get back in the fall and do that again, which surprised me, because between the two of us, he's actually the more frugal. And it was actually his idea to do the room service. But I think part of that was he saw how affordable it was, because for some reason to us, you think room service, you think expensive.
That's all of us.
And most of the breakfast entrees were between $12 and $16 each, and that's easily what you'd pay or more at any of the restaurants. And then it was a $3 service, like, delivery fee, and then also gratuity was added on. And so we both got omelets, but they were so huge we could have easily split one. Either one of us could finish ours. So next time we're just going to get one and then split it, because it was vegetarian. I even had them leave the ham out of mine because I didn't want ham for breakfast. I like ham, but not for breakfast. And so we just got a vegetarian omelet, and so we could have completely split it, and it would have been plenty of food.
That's a great tip, because you've heard our show many a times. Me and Brenda split the bounty platter like all the time, or we do go get an omelet, because at Riverside they have fresh made omelets. You pick what you want, put in it, and they make it right in front of you. The thing is so big, I could never eat it by myself. Dan, you know those omelets over at Riverside.
Yeah, they cook them in them little skillets there, and yeah, I mean, they're huge. There's no doubt about it. It's got to be a 4 to 6 egg omelet, I would say.
Yeah, and it's like $8.99 or something, like $7.99, whatever it is. I mean, me and Brent, I take that back to the room with her coffee, and we're stuffed.
Well, and that was, you mentioned your own coffee. That's another advantage of getting room service. If I had gone to a restaurant, I would have wanted hot tea. I might have skipped it just because of the cost. But that's usually like $3 for a cup of hot tea, which I think is kind of steep. Yeah. And because we were in the room, I had my own hot tea. So, I mean, that's another advantage of ordering in your room. And then the other big thing is just the lack of noise. It was just so peaceful because any of the restaurants you go to are fairly, you know, busy and noisy. So it was just kind of a relaxing way to start the day. But I do have one tip. The first day we called, it was a little later because we waited till we showered and got ready. And it was an hour and a half wait for room service.
Wow.
And so the next morning we called right when we woke up and it worked out perfect. It was a 50-minute wait. So we both were able to easily get ready in 50 minutes and then the food showed up. So that's a tip, is call pretty early in the morning because they get really backed up pretty quickly.
It sounds awesome. I wouldn't do it because I love my morning walk, but that's an awesome tip to do that and split that. It's a great way to start the day. And speaking of noisy, you didn't have a great, you liked the pizza, but thought Via Napoli was too loud?
Yes. Yes. It was way too loud for both of us. Like, it was the kind of loud where it was hard to carry a conversation on. I wasn't expecting it to be quiet, but I wasn't expecting that level. I don't think the acoustics are great for a restaurant because the floors are not carpeted, so it's just incredibly echoey and loud. And then we also got seated very closely to two gentlemen who were having a very animated conversation. So I've heard you talk about this before, Doug. I feel like I was in their conversation because I was hearing, you know, every single thing that they said. And so, and it's not their fault. They're just having a conversation, but we were just so close to them. So yeah, that's definitely not on our return list because also for me, there were only three gluten-free entrees, none of which were pizza. And mine was definitely not worth the money. It was a seafood dish, but it was very small. It was three shrimp, three clams, and three mussels for $30. And I'm not cheap, and I know Disney's expensive, but the value just wasn't there for me for that. And Brian even agreed. He loved his pizza, but he said it wasn't, for me, it just isn't a place we would go back.
No, and I agree with you. Like, those three items, to go buy them at my local Acme probably cost me like $4.
Right.
You know, because none of that is, any of that seafood you just mentioned isn't expensive. Do you agree, Dan?
No, it's pretty standard stuff. And yeah, I mean, I think we even talked about this Via Napoli being a little bit noisy on, I don't know, a couple of shows. Oh, didn't we review Via Napoli a couple of shows
ago,
Doug?
Yeah, we were speaking about it.
Yeah,
well, and I know it's a huge fan favorite, so I was, I guess, kind of surprised. Now, I wasn't surprised by my choices because I had already read a gluten-free review on a different blog, so I knew my choices would be limited. But Brian really wanted to try their pizza because we'd heard so much, you know, so many good views.
Right.
And I don't think it lived up to our expectations, but that could be because we've heard so many good reviews.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like when something
yeah.
gets too hyped up and then you're like, oh, you know, it's not what you expected.
So let me ask you, Carmen, was your seating arrangements, were you like on a two-top table in between two larger tables because you were a party of two? Or what were the logistics of your actual table?
We were on a two-top table right next to a register, so that was a bit noisy because it's where the food servers
are
coming up to
around that area.
Ring things up. And so they would all hover there and sort of talk to each other. And I mean, it was literally right next to me. I mean, like I could reach over and touch them without any effort. And then right next to us were the two gentlemen I mentioned at another two-top. So I was sitting in a booth right next to the other guy, you know, that was at the other table.
Yeah, because I've found, and again, we talked about this on that show, oftentimes when you're just a couple or two, they have these weird locations, which it sounds like that was exactly what you had, where they squeeze in a two-top table that may be in between two larger tables or larger parties, and, you know, inevitably they're going to be louder and more conversation than what you are probably having at your table. So, yeah, it's I hate those tables, and I seem to get stuck with them all the time, but you know, I end up learning much more than I want to about my neighbors during
yes.
dinner, you know, and it's just, I don't know, I just it's irritating but understandable. They only have so many square feet and they try to maximize and all that stuff, so I get it, but it can be frustrating.
Yeah, I mean, I don't feel like we walked away hating it. It's just one of those things where you go, do I want to personally spend money to go there again and take a couple of hours out of my Disney vacation? For us, that would be no. But I could see if you had a whole family that could eat pizza and enjoy it together, I can see why people love it, because Brian said the pizza was fantastic.
You took the words out of my mouth, and you're kind of, you guys are in the same boat as me and Brandon. Dan is now, too, because his kids are older. Like, if you're a family, the noise don't bother you because you love the noise because your kids are making noise anyway. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
So you fit right in. It's like the whole cafeteria thing I said about the land pavilion over, you know, over Sunshine Seasons. It's like that noise don't bother them. But with just me and Brent, we don't need the noise. We're not trying to hide anything. Like, the sky's our noise. We're not making any.
Right.
So, and I think that's what it's about, because most of our listeners love it over there via Napoli, but a lot of the most of the people that love it have a family. Like, they're going there with their family and their kids, and they're there to make noise, where we're not.
Well, and I also think it's what you were talking about with the value. If you have four people eating that $40 pizza, that's a great value, because that pizza is gigantic. You know, the one that feeds three to four people.
Right.
Whereas the single serving pizza is pretty pricey, which is what Brian had to get since I can't eat the pizza. And then, like I said, my dish was very pricey for what it was, because it was really, truly small. Like, I kind of walked out of there still hungry. And I will admit, I can eat, but it was not very big at all, especially for a pasta dish. You expect to be kind of full, you know, when you have pasta, and it was just so small that I wasn't. So, yeah, it's back to the value for what we got. I think for a gluten-eating family of four, it would be fantastic, truly. I really do.
Well, let me ask you this, because we couldn't answer this for ourselves when we covered the Annapolis a few shows ago. Did you notice the pizza window, and if indeed it was open, and if it was, is it the same pizza that you get inside?
It is so funny you mentioned that. Brian looked long and hard. He never did ask anyone. I kept telling him just to ask someone. He never could find it. He walked all over the Italy Pavilion. Stuck his head everywhere he could, and he could not find it, because before we ate there, that's what he was saying. He was like, well, I could just go to this pizza window and try that instead, and he could not find it anywhere. But like I said, he never asked, but if it's there, it's hidden very, very well.
Okay.
Well, like I said, it was there upon opening, Via Napoli opening, and I know it was only open like certain times of the week, or maybe it was just like Friday and Saturdays or something, and it was sporadic when it was open. So maybe after testing, they just decided to get rid of it. But anyone, listeners out there listening, please write in if you've experienced the pizza window in the Italy Pavilion, and maybe you could clear that up for us.
Now, let's get you moving on to another park, which I know you enjoyed the food, and I've heard some reviews that people haven't enjoyed it that much because it's a little weird. You and Brian really like Skipper's Canteen?
We loved it. We absolutely loved it. I loved everything about it. I loved the atmosphere. I loved our server. She was fantastic. She was great at delivering the puns without being overbearing about it. Like, it wasn't too much, because we actually
she
don't
like. She wasn't
like
a fish out of water? Oh, did I say that out loud?
No, she was great. And we're not big on the restaurants where the servers are trying to be funny, if you know what I mean, like sort of like 50s Primetime or Whispering Canyon. That's not really our thing, so we were a little apprehensive when we went in, you know, as far as what to expect. But she was just the right amount of pun, just the right amount of funny, and she was also able to improvise, because I said something, I can't remember what I said, she goes, oh, we don't care here in the jungle, it's fine. Like, she was just great at like thinking of things off the top of her head. And the food was amazing. Like, we both loved what we had. We split the gluten-free falafel. They have regular falafel, but they'll make it gluten-free, which is really nice. And it was different than any falafel I've ever had before. It had some really unique spices in it, in a very good way, very tasty. And then I had the arepas, and they were fantastic. It's actually an appetizer, but I had it as my meal. Because on one of the gluten-free blogs, I'd seen the person give that a huge thumbs up and also said it was big enough to be a meal. So I ordered that for my meal. And then Brian had the tofu rice noodle bowl, and he said it was amazing, and he couldn't even eat it all. It was a normal size entree, and he couldn't finish it.
Wow.
So did you guys actually get to see the head-on shrimp?
No, we did not. And... I'm surprised Brian didn't get that because he loves shrimp and the head would not even faze him like that. That wouldn't bother him in the least. I did take a really good tour of the restaurant though, and that'll be in a future vlog. The theming is just incredible, detailed. I mean, just fantastic. I love the theming.
It's definitely on the eating living list for me. It's like, there's so many places I want to try. And did you guys go on any rides at the Magic Kingdom this trip? Did you anything else special? Did you hit any other restaurants at the Magic Kingdom?
Before we move to that, I hope you get to go, Doug, before they change the menu, because there's a nasty rumor going around that they're going to tone the menu down at the Skipper Canteen because too many people don't like the exotic nature of the food. So I hope you get to try it, because I did not find the food that spicy. Like, I'm kind of surprised people are put off by it, because it's, I would call it moderate spice. I don't think it was over the top.
And I don't want to see it change either. It's like, I mean, I'm complaining about, change Pecos Bills back first. but you know, I mean, it's like, there's something different in the park. I mean, everything don't have to be the same, and that's why I was excited about Skipper's Canteen. If I like it or don't like it, and other people do, leave it there, because I like options at the park.
Well, and it's also nice finally having a place that you don't have to have an ADR in advance for. You can just walk up and get a day of reservation.
Yeah,
and we were able to basically walk right in, but sadly, that's probably why they're changing the menu, because it's not popular enough to be completely booked out. So anyway, I hope you get to enjoy it before they change it, because it really is unique compared to all the, like, there's really nowhere at Disney that I could compare the food to. It's pretty unique.
Yeah, I read that too.
That is disappointing to hear that, because, you know, but unfortunately the masses rule at Disney World. I mean, they have to feed all those people, and, you know, that's why I, you know, we've read the menu off for the new one. What's the name of the one opening up at the Animal Kingdom? The name escapes me. Tiffin's. Yeah,
Tiffin.
And the menu there is, you know, I wouldn't. It's on the exotic side, at least some of the descriptions and stuff. And, you know, again, this is just my intuition. Nobody's said this. I haven't heard a rumor, but I'll be surprised if 6 months into it they don't do the same thing there because of the because of the way the menu reads. And, you know, there were some things that we thought sounded pretty good, and some, you know, we weren't really sure what it was based on reading it, but we'd certainly like to experience that. And, you know, again, don't be just eating chicken fingers and, you know, all that stuff that you know, the masses seem to love. So
when it's nice to be able to get something you can't really get at home,
right?
Because we have a pretty diverse community here, so there's a lot of different food options from all over the world. But the food I had at Skipper's Canteen, I felt like, was unique. Sure, I can get falafel here, but I've never had falafel quite spiced like that. Like, everything had just a little bit of a flair to it. And so, to me, that's what's special. It's not something I can just go home and go down the street and get.
No.
Absolutely.
No, I'm excited about it. I'm excited. Now, did you guys pop anywhere else? Did you go on many rides at the Magic Kingdom this trip, or...?
Yeah, we did. We actually rode a lot of stuff at the Magic Kingdom. The crowds were really bad at the Magic Kingdom compared to the other parks, and so we did a lot of park hopping, but strangely the ride waits didn't seem that abnormal. It was just getting into the park was slower. Like, the bag check lines were longer, the ticket lines were longer, just the congestion on Main Street and in the, you know, common areas was sort of higher than what I'm used to, but the actual ride times didn't seem that different. So we would go first thing at Rope Drop and have three fast passes, and also, you know, walk on a lot of things, and we managed to ride everything that we wanted to there. I can't think of anything we missed that I'm sad about missing, you know. So we went there three different days, actually four, because the day we did the four parks plus Disney Springs in one day, which was a marathon, we were back at Magic Kingdom that day as well. So
you got to do the great rides, the People Mover, the train, right?
Yes, we rode the People Mover, the train. Like I said, pretty much everything. We did miss Small World this time, but I don't feel like I have to ride that every time. And we skip a lot of the shows, like Country Bear and Hall of Presidents, sorry, Doug, and Tiki, because again, those are things that I don't need to see every single trip. I like to do them about once a year, and we go 3 to 4 times a year, so, you know, we sort of rotate those through. But
one time
as far as the other rides, we pretty much rode everything. I think
one time a year I'll keep the tiki 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 talk, and it's a Small World in your head for the whole year. You don't need to go 3 times on any of those on either, right. either one right. of those. But you got Pirates and Haunted and all the good stuff. So you guys, did you spend much time at the studios?
We did. Well, I don't know if I'd say we spent much time. I actually wish we spent more. We spent a whole, I would say, till mid-afternoon one day. So from rope drop till mid-afternoon. And then we, again, on the four parks in one day plus Disney Springs, we also were back there. And then we went there one different night for the fireworks, for the Star Wars fireworks.
How'd you like that?
They were great. I wouldn't put them above like Wishes or Illuminations, but they're still really great. And if you are a Star Wars fan, which I know you guys are not particularly, but I am, I grew up with it. I was 7 when the first one came out and I saw it. It was my first adult movie in the theater. So it was a huge deal for me. And I've just always loved the series. So it has all of the music from the different movies with the fireworks. And they also have some of the, you know, lines from the movies being, you know, said by the actors. And so I just thought it was really fun and good even in its current state. But I think once they add the projections and the other parts that are supposed to come on this summer, I think it'll be even better.
Now, me and Dan, I don't want to speak for Dan, but I'm sure he feels the same way. We're not crazy fans, but we're both looking forward to it. We're both excited about everything they're doing. I can't wait to see that fireworks show.
Well, and that's why I wish we had spent more time there. I feel like we barely scratched the surface of the launch bay. It was huge, and there was so much memorabilia to see, and the Jawas were super fun to interact with. They tried to steal my vlogging camera and trade me a silver flip phone, like from the 90s for it. And they actually took the vlogging camera out of my hand and were looking at it. And I'm like, can I have that back? You know,
well, maybe what I'll do on my next trip, my buddy at the local band of video, he repairs and fixes broken iPhones and stuff. So maybe I'll get a broken iPhone from him, take down there and get a flip phone for free from him so I can have it for Disney memorabilia.
There you go. Yeah, and I had actually intended to trade with them, but I forgot the item. I brought some Mardi Gras beads to trade with them because I had heard they like shiny things.
Oh, okay.
And I left them in the room. I forgot to take them to the park that day, so I was bummed about that. But they were still super fun to interact with, and we didn't even do any of the meet and greets because we just didn't feel like we had time. There was so much we wanted to get done that day, so I definitely am excited about spending more time there this summer. We're taking my nephews this summer, and so I'm hoping we'll get to spend a little more time in there.
And then you headed over to the Animal Kingdom, and you had pizza that you enjoyed at Pizzafari, right?
Yes, that was surprising. They redid Pizzafari, and I figured they would have just the same food when it came back online, but they don't. The pizza is way better. Brian got this shrimp flatbread, and it was phenomenal, he said. I didn't eat it. And then I got a gluten-free pizza. It was like the meat lovers.
Making me hungry.
It had meatballs and pepperoni on it, I think. And it was really, really good. And so we both gave that 2 thumbs up.
Well, that's the reason I brought it up, because you're saying it's back up and it is different. It isn't your same old Pizzafari.
Yeah, they've definitely improved the pizza. There's no doubt. It's much better.
So you guys then also, you headed to Disney Springs, and how beautiful is that?
Oh, it's so beautiful. And Jock Lindsay's has become my new favorite place to eat. The first time we went to Jock Lindsay's back in October, we didn't eat. We just got a drink. This time we actually went to have a meal there, and I got the Snacks of Ra gluten-free version of it, and Brian got the pretzels, and we both loved what we had, and I really enjoyed the drink I had, too. I had the Cool-Headed Monkey, if you've seen it.
Denny,
it comes in a monkey head glass.
Yeah, I'm looking at the mug right now. I sprung for the silver
glass.
Yeah, so
she told me how much that was, and I was like, nope.
Yeah, it was one of those things. It was brand new, and the drink that, I mean, you can describe the drink, Carmen, but it was unlike anything I'd ever had, sort of like a milky type drink, as I remember it. And it was very good, but the mug that it came in was pretty impressive, so I sprung for that. What was it? I don't even remember. What was the upcharge for the souvenir?
I think
souvenir?
It was $15 extra on top of what you paid for the drink to get the mug. And I know that's not that bad. All the mugs at Disney cost $15, but I was like, no, that's okay. I'll pass on that.
Well, see, this comes from the woman that spent $200 a pop on food and wine. You know what I'm saying, Dan? And she's picking on you for your cool-headed monkey.
Right. Well, I still get a kick out of it. I remember one of your vlogs. So maybe you do this all the time, but you play this game, you know, guess the price, you
guess
and Brian.
The price.
And
yes, we do
inevitably, you always put the items back and never purchase them. Usually, I should say. Not always, but I get a kick out of that.
Well, a lot of times we're just doing it for fun anyway, because, like, I always like to get Brian on the Dooney and Burke purses, because he can't get his head around the fact that those purses cost $300 to $400, depending on the size. And so I always like to get him on those, because the little bitty wallets even will be like $250, and so I can always trick him on theirs.
My wife, I've bought her a few of them for Christmas presents. Like, that's the only time we can afford them. And but I will say, she does have this black bag, this Dooney and Burke bag. I bought it for her for like 7 years ago, and she uses this thing all the time. Like, she'll switch out to her other one, but she always ends up back to this one bag. For her. Thing looks like the day I bought it, so I will give them credit for that. Their stuff is expensive, but it does last a long, long time. So I will give them a little credit, but it is expensive.
I've never bought one, so I can't speak to the quality. I'm not a purse person. Like, a purse, it's kind of like you were talking about your friend who eats just to survive. A purse is a thing that carries my stuff for me. I'm not, like, into it for a fashion reasons. Yeah. So I never buy any purses.
Yeah, my wife has, like, you know, four or five of them over a 20-year span as me being her husband. That's, like, her thing. Where the iPads and everything else cost her. If you know what I'm saying. Because even though I wanted the iPads, and she ends up stealing them. You know, I don't know. Why do you need that thing? The iPhone works the same way. And now she won't leave the iPad alone. I can barely pry it out of her hands. The Mini. She likes the Mini the best. So now, anywhere else did you guys go with Disney Springs?
Let's see. We went in a couple of the stores. I went into the Market Co-op to check out the new Tag store, the one with the sort of travel accessories. And we also checked out the, I guess it's the pantry. There's another one in the Market Co-op with the kitchen items, and also 28th and Main. and so that was fun going through those stores. And seems like we popped in one other store there, but I'm drawing a blank, so it must not have been memorable. But...
okay, well, that you must all.
You must have stopped in the World of Disney, no?
I'm trying to remember if we did. I don't know if we did this time.
You're in trouble.
Yeah, that's it. We always, we at least walk through. There's been times where we quickly go through, but that's kind of the anchor down there, and we tend to check that out each and every time.
This was our four parks in one day plus Disney Springs.
Right.
And so since we were eating at Jack Lindsay's, that took sort of the bulk of our Disney Springs time. And then we went into two stores. I'm just drawing up. Oh, I know what the second store was. It was Trends.
Okay.
It's sort of female stuff.
Yeah, I think it's trendy. Is it trendy?
Trendy, yeah. That's it. Thank you. Because we were with our friend Leisha, and so she and I were like, let's go in Trends. And so we went in there because part of our... When we do four parks in one day, we do two attractions and eat or drink one thing in each park. So we were like, well, what are we going to do at Disney Springs? So we decided we would eat or drink something and then go in two stores. So that's what we did. We did the Market Co-op and Trendy.
So, yeah, so it wasn't a traditional visit to Disney Springs.
No.
You were on a mission that day, so
exactly.
I understand.
We were on a mission, and it was a long day. We spent, I think, 13 hours total from the time we left to the time we got back, and logged 12 miles walking on Brian's Fitbit, so it was an intense day.
Now, did you guys use all Disney transportation?
Yes, that was part of the rules.
Okay, just making sure, just putting it out there.
It had
for
to
everybody.
Be 100% Disney transportation, so that was part of the chat quote challenge, because we actually went to Dennis's home resort and got off at that Congress Park exit and walked to Disney Springs, and then walked back to that and got on the bus to avoid, you know, having to take double buses in both directions.
Right.
See, I like
that was smart.
You should have took the Friendship boat up the river and popped off at Riverside and took a bus.
That's too slow.
No, that's a beautiful time. You could have got your
rest
on.
No, I know,
on.
But if you're trying to do
I'm
five things in one day, it's too slow.
Right.
I've actually done that before, and it's great when you're relaxed, but not when you're sort of on a mission.
So one other meal I want to mention, which was one of Danny's favorite, how did you guys enjoy the Captain's Grill?
We loved it. We will be back there for sure. We both got the buffet for breakfast, and Boma has always been our favorite brunch. And it's around $30. Don't quote me on that, but it's about $30. This was only $22, and it was almost as expansive as Boma. It, you know, some of the things were different, of course, and they didn't have a made-to-order omelet, which Boma does have. But other than that, it was pretty amazing. We both loved it. And it's, you know, if you're staying at an Epcot resort, it's trivial to get to. And we did not have a reservation. We just walked up and walked in, and they had plenty of space.
Yeah, I mean, it's surprisingly, I mean, it's not large. I guess the footprint of the buffet isn't large, but the way it's built into the little alcove there, the presentation and the different offerings that they have there, that's why I call it a hidden gem, because we had been by the Captain's Grill, and I think we even ate dinner there once when we were staying at the beach club, and we didn't even realize that was back there. And once we discovered that, we were hooked, and like I've said on many a show, we're usually there once a trip, even if we're not staying in the boardwalk area. We'll drive over or get over there somehow and partake in that, particularly the breakfast buffet. It is awesome.
It was great, and I was surprised that they also offered a la carte items as well, so you didn't have to get the buffet. But I noticed the item I would have gotten was like $15, and then I would have, again, ordered tea, which is like $3. So then you're so close to that $22. I was like, oh, might as well just get the buffet.
Right.
I was glad I did, though. It was really good, and they just really had an excellent variety of food. Like, Brian likes non-traditional breakfast items. Like, they had smoked salmon and roasted vegetables and things like that, and so he just fully enjoyed it, because a lot of times as a vegetarian on a, think of like Trails Inn buffet, it's a great buffet, but he's sort of stuck with eggs and pastries and breads and stuff. There's not a lot of, like, he does eat seafood, and so there's not a lot of other options. So since they had the roasted vegetables and the smoked salmon, there were a lot of other things he could eat there.
Yeah, very, very diverse, and yes. I highly recommend it.
And very gluten-friendly, too, if there's any listeners that have that challenge. They brought me some gluten-free waffles just so I could have waffles, since, you know, of course, normal waffles have gluten, so they made those especially for me. So, great service.
Yeah, I seen the Mickey waffles you tweeted out that one day. I was sitting there at work eating my peanut butter and jelly sandwich in the morning, and I'm getting these Mickey waffles and this whole buffet shown to me. It was a beautiful thing. I was starving.
Yeah, it was great, and I have to thank Doug for that, because you're one of the people that I kept hearing about it from, and also Ricky on Be Our Guest has mentioned it a couple of times. So between the two of you, I was like, okay, all these people can't be wrong. We've got to give this a try, and I agree. It's really, like you said, a hidden gem, because it was pretty empty in there, which surprises me, and the food was fantastic. And they open at 7:30, so you can go and eat and still easily make it to the parks when they open.
Yeah, well, absolutely. Boot Scoot and Boogie in the back entrance of Epcot, and you're raring to go.
Yep. I think we went to Hollywood Studios that day, but just hop on the boat, and there you are.
So you ate at Captain's Grill and got on my friendship boat, and I'm running around sand, and I'm brokenhearted as I'm watching you.
Sorry.
No, I was happy for you. It was good that you included us. The one last question I wanted to ask you, though, how did you, the River Light Stadium and all, are you excited about that?
Oh, I'm super excited about that. It looks phenomenal. I couldn't get over the level of theming and how natural the stadium looks, and the entryway for Fast Pass is fully themed. Like, everything just blends so beautifully with Animal Kingdom. And when I go this summer with my nephews, the sort of intermediate Jungle Book show will be happening,
that
they sort of slid in there. So I'm actually really excited to see that. In fact, I've heard rumors on some message boards that they're going to have a couple of dining, you know, where you go eat and then you get reserved seating for the Jungle
Book
show. Yeah,
kind of like Fantasmic. We were mentioning on our show, too. We think they're going to do that with Tiffin's and Yak and Yeti and all. They're going to have it like
there's even a rumor they're going to have a quick service version this time with Flame Tree Barbecue for this Jungle Book one.
That's cool.
And it's like $22 and you get like a certain amount of food. But don't quote me on this. This is all rumors at this point. But I'm hoping, I think May 20th around that is when they're supposed to announce all these things. So I'm watching and waiting and hoping that I can get in for the summer, because it does look great, but it doesn't hold that many people. I think it's only 5,000. So that's sort of my concern. That's not a lot of people.
Yeah, well, I'm going to keep people out, because I'm the official guard of the Animal Kingdom. You know, I'm going to be there. No, you didn't like it before. It was a half-day park leave. Give me my seat.
Yeah. Doug's a charter member of the Animal Club. Animal Kingdom Club.
Exactly.
Animal Kingdom Club.
Yeah.
I've earned my tiger stripes for the Animal Kingdom. I really
We really had a great time at Animal Kingdom this trip. And we did in October, too. Brian and I were both talking about this. We think it's actually become our number two park. Mm-hmm. Epcot, of course, is our first. Used to Magic Kingdom was our second, and Animal Kingdom was our third. But Magic Kingdom's just getting so hectic that we're actually having a much better time at Animal Kingdom, relaxing, doing the walking trails, enjoying the animals. And so it's funny how over time, you know, yes, the parks change some, but you do too, you know.
Oh, absolutely. But they also, you learn to, the more you go there, the more you realize, and I've said it a million times, and I know I'm repeating myself, but it's set up so you have to explore. You got to look around to find the stuff. It isn't like
right.
in the Magic Kingdom where I'm a neon sign, look at me, come get on.
Right.
No, that ain't how they designed that park. I mean, you'll walk by five or six things that you'll complain that there's nothing to do and you didn't even see it.
right, yeah. No, I love it. And something about the park is relaxing. It doesn't feel so hurried.
No.
Like when I'm at Magic Kingdom, for some reason, I always feel like I'm in a race of some kind and I need to hurry from attraction to attraction before it gets too crowded.
Yeah, I feel like the seagulls from mine. You want to run the whole time you're there.
Right, exactly. And so to me, Animal Kingdom and of course Epcot are both much more relaxing and enjoyable. And I actually do love Hollywood Studios, but in its current state, I don't think anyone could call it their favorite park. I mean, half the park's closed. And so I think once they start opening that stuff up, though, it's going to be phenomenal because, like I said, I already wish we had more time to spend there than we did because they've really done a great job with some of these intermediate things they've put in for Star Wars. Like we watched the Captain Phasma and Stormtrooper. It's not a parade, of course. It's simpler than a parade, but that was really impressive. They do a procession up to the stage and then she says a few things and even that alone was really cool. And they do that like every hour. So they've just got a lot of cool things going on, especially for Star Wars fans.
Yeah. Well, our buddy Resort Loop Bob says that the only thing they took away was the backlot tour and lights, motor action. Nothing else is going. I mean, there's really nothing else going.
That Captain Jack Sparrow thing that no one ever went to anyway, it's gone.
Yeah, everything right. is gone. I mean, he was trying. I get it, and I appreciate it, and I enjoy his show. They do a really good job on that podcast. But they were trying to defend that it's not a half-day park, and it is. I mean, unless you've never been there before, to us, I just don't see any more than a few hours there anymore.
See, I don't know, because over the course of three different visits, we probably did spend a full day there. It wasn't on the same day, but one day we were there till way after lunch, from right up to well after lunch, and then another day we were there for a couple of hours. That was the four parks one day, and then another day we were there for the fireworks for a couple of hours. So
I could see myself
close to a full day.
I could see myself getting there at 5-6 o'clock, eating dinner at Brown Derby, and then seeing the fireworks and hanging out, but like with you, I will walk by Launch Bay. I'll take some pictures, check it out. But the Star Wars stuff isn't like, you agree with me, Dan? You're not going to be roaming through there. I'd rather somebody else roam through there who really loves it. And again, I'm happy for it. I can't wait for all the rides. I can't wait to see the architecture and the way they built it. But I'm not going to be, I'll try to get a phone swap for the fun of it. But I really wouldn't even, if you wouldn't have told me about that, I'd probably never knew about it, Carm. So. Was there anything else you want to ask Carmen before we let her go? Because we're all going to get up early for work. We'll be here at the pub all night.
Yeah. It's flicking the light saying,
last call.
You got to go.
I've got to get up at 4 in the morning. So, I think it is last call for me.
Yeah. No. You did a great job coming. It was great having you on. And we appreciate your insight into the parks and getting a pick your brain a little bit deeper than what you show on your vlog. It was an enjoyable hour and 40 minutes
yeah,
or so.
Marathon.
Yes, we were talking
No,
away.
Thanks for having me. I really enjoyed it. It was a lot of fun.
Absolutely, Carmen. You guys do a great job. Tell Brian hello. We'd like maybe to get him on here one of these days. We'll get him on and talk. Him and John can talk about the beer flights.
They could talk beer, yes.
So, yeah, we may do a beer show one of these times. So if he's up for it, we'll definitely have him on.
So let him
know. Yeah, that's definitely his. He always says he's not a beer expert. He's just a beer lover. You know, he feels like those are two different things, but he certainly does enjoy beer.
Yeah, well, maybe we'll get him on. We'll talk about the beer flights. We'll get John on. We'll have some fun with him. Tell him thanks for doing a great job. Tell everybody where they can find you, Gin Karma, on Twitter and on your YouTube channel.
Yeah, so our main YouTube channel, as I mentioned, is youtube.com/theadventuresofPandC, or just go to YouTube and search for The Adventures of Peas and Carrots. And we do have all our videos organized into playlists, so if you're new, please hit that subscribe button, first of all, so you'll get our weekly vlogs, but also you can go back and watch these trips in order. We've got them set up sort of a Netflix-style playlist, so if you want to see the entire October trip that Dennis was in, you can just click on that and watch the whole thing back to back. And then you can also find us on Twitter at Peas and Carrots 3, so the number 3. And yes, there were more peas and carrots.
Who would have thought, right?
Yeah, who would have thought? So it's at Peas and Carrots and the number 3. And we do have a Facebook page. We're not as active there, but I do post the videos weekly there. So if you're more of a Facebook person, be sure to look us up on Facebook. And all the links to all the social media, including Instagram and everything, is in the show notes of every single video that we put out. So you can always look down there if you are having trouble remembering where we're at.
Well, you do a fabulous job, guys. We really appreciate you having you on, Carmen. And it was nice to have you on with Dan, too, so we didn't have to torture with just me this time.
Well, thank you for having me. It's always great fun to come out to the pub and pull up a stool. You guys are fun to hang out with.
Thanks, Carmen. You guys have a great night. Please go over to iTunes and leave us a review. We'd really, really appreciate it. That would really help us out. And you can follow me and Dennis on Twitter at WDW Main Street. Everybody have a great night. Bye-bye.
Oh, my siestas are getting shorter and shorter. Oh, look at all the people. Welcome to Walt Disney's Enchanted Tiki Room. Hey, Michael, mi amigo, pay attention, it's Joe time.
So it is, and what darling people I have sitting under me. Pierre, you rascal, you, let's put on the show.
Mon ami, I am always ready, as you say, to put on the show. Oh, pardon, madame. That whistle was for my good friend, Fritz.
Ach, du lieber, I almost fell out of my upper perch. Glad to see you all aboard, ashore, or wherever you are. My goodness, you're all staring at us. We better start the show rolling.
Wait, wait. We forgot to wake up the Glee Club.
It's show time.
In the tiki 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 room, in the tiki 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 room,
all the birds sing words and the flowers croon.
In the tiki 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 room,
welcome to our tropical hideaway, you lucky people, you. If we were a Disney show starting right away, we'd be the audience too.
All together in the tiki 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 room, in the tiki 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 room,
all the birds sing words
and the flowers croon.
In the tiki 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 room,
I sing so beautiful, I should sing solo.
See, so low we can't hear you.
My voice may not be so marvelous, but my profile is out of this world.
Jawohl, but the trouble is, it's not far enough out of this world. Isn't that right, Herr Schmidt? I see Schmidt has no hair.
Mi amigo, stop the clucking. You sound like a bunch of old hens. There's a lot of birds waiting to go on. For instance,
the boys in the back are called macaws.
Because of their claws?
No, because they're macaws. And our fine feathered friend is a jolly toucan. And toucan sound better than one toucan can.
The bird of paradise is an elegant bird. It likes to be seen and it loves to be heard. Most little birdies will fly away, but the tiki room birds are here every day.
In the tiki 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 room, in the tiki 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 room,
all the birds sing words
and the flowers croon.
In the tiki 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 room,
our show is delightful, we hope you'll agree. We hope that it fills you with pleasure and glee. Because if we don't make you feel like that, we're gonna wind up on a lady's hat.
In the tiki 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 room, in the tiki 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 room,
all the birds sing words
and the flowers croon.
In the tiki 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 room,
our magnificent production is yet to come. So strum the guitar and beat the drum. We've been a hit and we know you adore us, so come on and join us in another chorus.
In the tiki 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 room, in the tiki 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 room,
our little song.
In the tiki
only to load up.
All the birds sing once in the flower's room.
Well, guys, that's going to be it. Me and Dan's going to hop off our stools, pay our tab, and get on out of here. The show is brought to you by our fine sponsors, American Tourist Travel. For all your travel needs, contact American Tourist Travel at 856-227-9200. If you need a nice home in the Central Florida area to go visit Disney, Universal, or any of the fine amusement parks, and you want to stay outside the parks, contact the Elite Vacation Homes at 888-510-6679. They have a home to fit any size family. If you need a scooter in the Central Florida area, contact Scooter Vacations at 855-939-7266. And if you want to rent a vacation club on Disney property, contact David's Vacation Club Rentals at 800-610-5791. And you can also find all of our fine sponsors at our website at www.magicalmainstreetmemories.com. And please, guys, go give us a review over on iTunes. That's going to be it. Thanks again, and thanks for listening. We will see you next time. Bye-bye.